With the recent deaths of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and Rayshard Brooks, in combination with the global pandemic, we are now being forced to not only think about, but to acknowledge the injustices being done to Black people every day. Today, I had a conversation with one of my friends on these types of events, from COVID-19 and reopening the country to police brutality and protest. Overall, we just wanted to know where to go from here. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 10th ever episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. I'm your host, Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. Before we get started, I do want to tell you all that you can support this show financially by going to anchor.fm/tolson/support. Again, that is anchor.fm/tolson/support. Now, there won't be a verbal disclaimer for today because I think that this is a good conversation that everyone who is able to listen needs to listen to. It's an in-depth conversation that I had with one of my friends, and just if you're able to listen to it, please listen to it. Here's what was said in that conversation. Please help me welcome my guest for the Town Hall episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist, my friend, Isaiah Ferguson. How are you doing today, Isaiah?
I'm good. How about yourself, Jarius?
I'm doing good. So you already know the topic for today is, you know, basically current events. This is a town hall, you know, where do we go from here, you know, with all this stuff going on. So right. How do you feel about, you know, all the states that are, you know, reopening right now?
Well, to be honest, it's just the fact about, you know, how they're reopening. Are we still staying safe? Are they still required to wear masks? You know, everything that's keeping people safe from the coronavirus.
Right. A lot of conservatives are wanting to, you know, reopen because of the economy. And they, you know, they don't want the economy to die. They don't want to go into another depression.
Right.
But then on the other hand, you know, it is about staying safe, you know, whether or not, you know, money is more important than life.
Yeah. And a lot of them, they just really need to educate themselves. You know, they just need to look at the numbers. If
right.
In their area, if the virus is still flourishing, you know, and it's just still going up, then maybe the economy can wait just a little bit longer so that people in the area aren't dying. Because you already know they're not wearing masks. You know, a lot of right. people think that it's overkill. So.
Right. Well, speaking of the coronavirus, during this pandemic, we all have been, you know, forced to acknowledge the national problem of police brutality against Black people. So right. How are you feeling about, you know, police brutality as a whole?
As a whole, to be honest, a lot of the officers are just, how do I say this? They're it's getting out of hand, you know, and a lot of them is because, you know, they don't know what they're doing. They're young police officers, you know, and they're untrained. You know, in America, it doesn't take a lot of training to become a police officer. You only need a high school diploma and about 21 weeks, I think.
Right.
I saw somewhere 21 weeks in a police academy. And that's not a lot of time. Anybody can become a police officer.
Right.
And, you know, we need trained professionals that are protecting us out there.
We do need trained
professionals. Not people straight out of high school that don't know what they're doing, looking for a job.
Right, because in other countries, it takes, like, on average, 2, 3, 4, 5 years to become a police officer.
Exactly. Experience.
Yeah, but here in America, just takes, what, 5 months? I think that's what you said, 21 weeks?
Yep, 21 weeks. And a high school diploma.
Right, just about 5 months and basic knowledge. You know, a lot of police officers, they don't even have, you know, a lot of the police officers are there to de-escalate the situation. But if you look exactly. at the videos that have come out recently.
They're escalating the situation. They're making it worse.
Right. Like with the Rayshard Brooks situation. They escalated that situation when all he wanted to do was walk down the street and go home.
Now, see, and that one, that's kind of a controversial topic because when I was looking at the video, the officers did respond calmly. You know, they spoke to him. They told him they were going to put him in handcuffs. And then he did make the bad decision of trying to run away, but he right. maybe wasn't in his right mind. He was under the influence. And so I think on his part, he shouldn't have ran away. But the rules about how police officers can react are different in different states. And you're not allowed to shoot somebody while they're running. So, and where is a drunk man going to go? He only has right. two places to go, back to his house or back to the bar. And they have his car, so all they have to do is trace his car back to who the owner is and where his home is. It's not very difficult. They didn't think into the future while they were doing that. They're just living in the moment.
Right. Now, from other situations, you know, with police officers, like the George Floyd situation, peaceful protests have George Floyd's death kicked off peaceful protests. Right. And from those peaceful protests, they turned into riots.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about those?
No. You know, the damaging of buildings, the looting, all stuff like that, that's not, that shouldn't be part of the protests. But if you really look into some of the facts and, you know, look into your sources, it's not really the peaceful protesters that start this looting and rioting. It's
right.
other, it's different groups that just want to cause damage to the city.
Right. President Donald Trump tweeted out, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Some context behind that. It was first said by Walter E. Headley, the police chief of Miami, Florida, in 1967, who said in response to an outbreak of violent crime during the 1967 Christmas holiday season. He accused, quote unquote, young hoodlums of taking advantage of the civil rights campaign. And he told the press, "We don't mind being accused of police brutality." Now, it's not, in my opinion, it's not a coincidence that Donald Trump used the exact same words as Walter E. Headley.
It's not. He knows what he's doing.
Right. So I think that Donald Trump is saying, you know, that he doesn't care. He doesn't care about police brutality. He doesn't care about being accused of police brutality.
I don't think he does either. And to be honest, he's not seeing the protesters and the people that are looting. He's not seeing them as Americans. He's just seeing them as targets. So when right. he sends out military groups like that, he's not seeing them as the people, you know, that they actually are. It always starts off as peaceful protests. And then when things get violent, you know, he starts to send out high grade military people to, you know, calm the situation, but it's not really making anything better.
Right. I don't know if you know about this, but when the White House, Donald Trump was going, he planned to walk across the street to a church that was across the street. And there were protesters outside, and then he sent the Secret Service or the National Guard or someone. He sent a group of military people out there to throw tear gas and, you know, clear the space so that he could walk across the street and hold up a Bible.
Right, for his photo op.
Right.
Now,
terrible.
Yeah, I don't think that was the best idea to way to move the protesters, but if you look at his side of it, if he sees all the things that all the protesters are doing, the violent ways, he might be, you know, afraid and fear of his life. So that's why he may have sent, you know, Secret Service or stuff like that. But, you know, these are just regular people. And I can't see them trying to take the president's life or harm him in any way. So that might have not been the best way to move the protesters.
Right. Well, the officers involved in the death of George Floyd, they were arrested, but all except for Derek Chauvin have been released. The officers in the death of Breonna Taylor have not yet been arrested, suspended, or fired. The officer in the death of Rayshard Brooks has been fired and charged with felony murder, but his constituents that are his co-workers, they have been staging protests against his firing and his charging. So, you know, a common problem with police departments is figuring out whether or not to charge the officers, who to charge, and what to charge them with.
Right.
How are you feeling about that?
Well, it's good to see that, you know, we have some support in the police department with the Black Lives Matter movement. Because, you know, in the police department, you know, it's like a brotherhood. It's like a football team. You know, they all work together. It's all for one goal. It's a brotherhood. It's a sisterhood, stuff like that. But it's good to see that, you know, they don't support each other through things like that. You know, that they have different opinions on how things should have been handled.
Right. My opinion, I don't think that people on the same payroll should be judging, you know, each other.
Yeah.
Because there could be one person up top that's name is on everybody's check that's saying, you know, don't send this person to jail, give this person the lowest sentence. I don't think that everyone on the same payroll should be, you know, judging.
Yeah, because you get a lot of biased opinions when that happens.
Right. Well, I think that this was a good conversation. I was hoping that was going to be longer if everybody else joined. But, yeah. You know, I think it was a good conversation. I think we can come to the common consensus that there needs to be a change.
Definitely.
In the way that, you know, Black people we interact with the police and, you know, the way that we interact with the president, the way the president talks about us and the way we talk about the president. I think there needs to be a change in all of that.
And not even people that are in position of power, just like everyday people as well. You know, you see stories all across the internet of how non-minorities are treating black people, and it's just really messed up.
Right. Well, thank you for coming on my show.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you for having this interview with me.
Gotcha.
No, all right, I'll talk to you later.
You soon.
I feel insane. I've come on this show for the past 2 weeks, this being the third week, talking about police brutality, and nothing has changed. I've talked about the injustices being done to black people, and nothing has changed. I talked on episode 8 about Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor. If I'm not mistaken, that's what that episode was about. And Ahmaud Arbery, he's on his case is on his path to justice. Breonna Taylor's killers and murderers have not been arrested. They have not been fired. They have not been suspended. I came on this show last week talking about police brutality in response to George Floyd. George Floyd was on his path to justice, but three of the officers who aided in him dying, in his murder, in his suffering, in his torture, were released by a judge. Derek Chauvin is still in jail, and yes, that's good, but the other three need to be in jail too. And I have to come on this show today talking about Rayshard Brooks, who was just murdered in Georgia. I feel crazy. Because Rayshard Brooks, that officer that killed him was arrested and charged with felony murder. But guess what? The entire Atlanta Police Department went on strike because of that. I feel insane having to come on this show every week talking about police brutality and nothing is changing. We have a president who whips up people to do hate. He condones violence. He sent out his military force to clear the alleyway in front of the White House so that he can go in front of the church and hold up a Bible. He sent out the National Guard to numerous states because of peaceful protests that he thought was going to turn violent. I feel insane that every week I have to come on this show because another black man has died. I feel insane. It's astronomical that all this is happening and nothing is changing. This president, he loves to sign executive orders, but he hasn't signed an executive order to help this. He hasn't signed an executive order to help this. I don't know if you all can hear me, but he hasn't signed an executive order to help this. But he signed an executive order, 2 weeks ago to try to stop Twitter from putting fact checks on his tweets. You see what is important to this man, and you all still want to vote for him in November. It is insane that people support this man who whips up people to do hate, who divides this country. When you start looting, we start shooting. You and we. He sees us as targets, like Isaiah said. He doesn't see us as people. He sees us as targets. He sees us as another bullet, another wasted bullet. I feel insane that I have to say this. At 16 years old, I feel insane that I have to say this. We as Americans, as black Americans, we have to do better. And I'm not saying that we're doing anything wrong, but we have to do better. We have to hold each other's backs. We have to have each other's backs. We as black people, we are divided in our own community. You know it just as well as I do. But if we're going to have any change that's going to come out of this, we have to be connected. We have to be united. We have to stand in solidarity with each other. We have to stop worrying about this colorism that has come from slave times. where the master let in the lighter skinned people inside the house and kept the darker skins outside. We have to let go of that hatred for each other. We have to do better.